Let's go to Luke 16. Back to Luke today. We read the first few verses, but we're going to do it again. There was a certain, and he said unto his disciples, there was a certain rich man who had a steward, and the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods. And he called him and said unto him, how is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest be no longer steward. And the steward said within himself, what shall I do? For my Lord taketh away from me the stewardship. I cannot dig. To beg I am ashamed. I am resolved what to do. That when I am put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses. So he called every one of his Lord's debtors and said unto him, he called one every one and said unto him, and said unto the first, how much owest thou unto my Lord? And he said, 100 measures of oil. And he said unto him, take thy bill and sit down quickly and write 50. Then said he to another, and how much owest thou? And he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said, take thy bill and write 80. And the Lord commended the unjust steward, because he had done wisely. For the children of this world in their generation are in their generation wiser than the children of light. I say unto you, make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when you fail, they may receive you into their everlasting habitation. That's the most controversial scripture or parable in the Bible, because it commends fraud. But you have to hear what it is. He's using the parable of the serpent and the dove. Wise as serpent, harmless as dove. And he's using this parable to reveal a deeper mystery in regard to the kingdom of God. So, you understand that?
Absolutely.
All right. So when he says, make to yourselves mammon of the unrighteousness, so that when you fail, they may receive you into their habitation, he's saying that's what the wisdom of the world would do. Everybody understand that? So then all that is to get to this point. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust in the much. If therefore you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. This mammon is a Chaldean word. It's usually translated here as money in most translations, but it's much deeper than money. Mammon is anything that you have confidence in the world. If you have confidence in your talents, then that's mammon. If you have confidence in reputation, that's mammon. It's anything that you have confidence in this world, in time and space, is mammon. And yet that's what everybody is trying to attain. Something in which they can have confidence in. Everybody understand that? And you cannot serve that and God. It's impossible. This is why, and this comes behind, I mean this, not behind it, a little bit, about you are they that have continued with me in my test. This is no longer your test. It's no longer about the system of achievement in the world or having confidence in something in the world. This is why if you love the world and the things that are in the world, the love of the Father is not in you. So, what have we learned here? This is a biggie. Because that's everything that man strives for is something that he can have confidence in. He searches every kind of job or arena until he finds something he has confidence in. To the world, that's the perfect output. But to God, it's disaster.
I think pushing you to that point of where you can examine yourself and see where your loyalties are, where you tie your time and your energy and your thoughts.
Yeah, no question. It's pushing you to that point.
Now he's going to, now that in a minute, well, next verse, the Pharisees are chiding him because he said this.
Sure.
Now again, you remember a Pharisee, it was an actual tribe or movement in the Old Testament or in the New Testament.
But he's calling this person a committed fraud, faithful, it appears.
Right.
World.
He's faithful in the world system with regard to the world system.
Yeah. All right. Okay.
Well, same thing you have faith in.
Yeah, as a parable, that's perfect.
Right. All right, now listen to what he says. And the Pharisees also, and a Pharisee means those who separate, and it primarily means separating spiritual matters from the earthly matters. So you act one way with regard to Bible study, your church, and you act a totally different way when you're doing your job or in the world. That's what we talked about yesterday. You have to be the same person all the time. And that person cannot be faked. It's that your being cannot be thought out of. I mean, in other words, all your life, you slowly but surely invented yourself. We've talked about this many times. You go when you're a little kid, there's somebody you think is cool, and so you ape that. And you do that essentially your whole life. Now,
for clarification here, Paul said, I became all things to all men, and I might win some. So what did that mean in light of what you just said?
It meant that he was only interested in the spiritual issues of discussing with anybody. To the Jew, I became as a Jew. To those under the law, I became as those under the law. To those without the law, I became as without the law. In terms of his speech, he could speak. He didn't use the same words to talk to different audiences.
He
was communication. But this is, this thing of separating is huge. Because, I mean, the church almost teaches it. Well, almost, it does. This is how you're successful in the business, or the Christian businessman. And then this is how you raise children. This is how you get a girlfriend or whatever it is. It's unending cause and effects that the church teaches. That's why it says you travel over sea and land to make one convert, and when he is made, you make him twice the child of hell that you are. Because you're teaching again how to do things. If you know how to do things, you don't need God. That's why cause and effect is having on the Babylonian garment. All the world wonders after the whore, or because all the world is worshiping cause and effect. All the world is wondering after the beast, because the beast is themselves. Amen? What?
I'm just digesting that. what is happening in that.
Go to Revelation 13.
Thinking how great you are.
No. Remember, this is the same beast that Daniel saw. It's the same beast he saw in chapter 12. It's the same beast he saw in chapter 13. I stood upon the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rise up out of the sea. The sand of the sea. The sea is the... What is the sea? It's the people.
Human race.
I saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns. And upon his horns, the 10 crowns. And upon his heads, the name of blasphemy. That's everyone, every man that has ever been born. That's the condition. You have 7 high places within your mind. And each of those 7 high places are the same reason that there were 7 high places and 7 tribes in Canaan that Israel had to destroy. And there were 70 kings, and it's total. And all those, that's why... Well, that's your Sanhedrin. That's what guides you. That's what your mind is, your conscience, and all the crap in your mind that guides you. So, and the beast that I saw, which I saw, was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth was the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power, and his seat, and his great authority. Now, that's just Satan, the dragon, is giving the beast his power and his authority, and that's you.
It might be deception, but it sure seems real. You know, your own power, your own authority makes you feel like you really have something.
It might be a deception. Kind of joking there.
Yeah.
All right. And I saw one of his heads, as it were, wounded to death. That's what happened on the cross. The main head was wounded to death. In the myth, it's the golden head had to be killed, otherwise nobody couldn't kill it. So here we saw. And his deadly head wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast. Wondered is gave ultimate importance to. And who do you give ultimate importance to? You. You are the instead of Christ. You've set yourself up in the temple of God, showing yourself that you like God, because you judge for yourself good and evil. Everybody else thinks you're a fool. Anybody buy that, really?
Yeah.
How can you ever use your mind again for anything?
What you say is so true, but the starkness of it at times it disturbs me.
And all I could say, good.
But they were, it says he worshiped the beast, but they were really worshiping the dragon. In verse 4, which gave power unto the beast. Now they worship the dragon. This is where Jesus said, he was said to the disciples that believed on him, to the Jews, you are, and he called them, you are of your father the devil. So the only thing that the entire world wonders after is themselves. You got it? How can you possibly trust your mind or your emotions from this minute forward? How can you possibly think there's any good in any of the voices that you hear? Their one job is to keep you from faith.
Must I do to do the works of God? I mean, that's the only thing you're left with here.
You, what do you do? No, you don't do anything. You enter the rest.
That's
how
it says.
Huh?
Just believe on him. Believe on him who he has sent.
Right.
What it says, which maybe
that means. That's what it means to enter the rest.
Yeah.
We finally see that the Sabbath day, the rest, is not a day. It's Jesus. So you, he is your life. There is no other. You've emptied your, you have the mind of Christ, total emptiness, so that there's a clear channel between you and Jesus and the Father. And then that's the only way you can continue with him in his test. Otherwise, you believe you're going through something. It's just your crap mind. So that's what it means. All the world is wandering after the beast. You got it? Okay, back to Luke.
I just think of how God's so tricky here, because if you, if the words say you have the mind of Christ, then you think you have something. The words
That's what the church is now doing. They think their thoughts are God's thoughts.
Yeah, because it says you have something. Wow. Well, what's a man to think? Oh, good, I have the mind of Christ now. But it doesn't mean that.
Doesn't mean anything. That's just this.
It means that your mind, the mind of Christ, is an empty mind, not a full mind.
All right.
Where do we go?
Back to Luke 14, 15.
16.
Now this verse that we study often. The Pharisees which were covetous heard all these things.
Wait, I don't know where we're on.
Huh?
16.
Verse 14.
We start in verse 14.
Okay, thanks.
Heard all these things, and they derided him. And he said unto them, you are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knoweth your heart. For that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God. The question is, if it's highly esteemed is abomination, even the little bit of esteem is abomination. Esteem means give importance to. What is highly esteemed? What do you esteem? If you esteem the same things that the world esteems, you're in deep doo-doo.
Aren't they talking more spiritual things? It's not like a new car and all that.
Yes, it is. It's everything. That which is highly esteemed among men is abomination unto God.
Okay, I can buy the new car stuff, but he's talking to the Pharisees.
Talk to everybody.
All right.
Think about it.
I understand that, but in this point, he's talking to the Pharisees, who highly esteem their position of righteousness and understanding of some mysteries and all that. That's highly esteemed among that crowd.
But which crowd?
Which
so now we have two crowds. We have the spiritual and the natural.
It extends on down, and I know the lowest person thinks the same thing about it. You know, he has his own esteemable thing, but in this context, it appears he's talking to Pharisees.
But remember, he's talking to us because we're the Pharisees.
Yeah.
Pharisees just means which those which separate. That's what para. It comes from the Greek word para, which means to separate, or phara. So you have a spiritual life and you have a natural life. That's the Pharisee. If everything isn't spiritual, nothing is.
Are you a Pharisee?
I hope not. Every time I've esteemed anything in the world, I've repented. That I'm aware of. What do you esteem? Do you give importance and think that's good? The things that the world does? Then you have a problem.
I esteem finishing my projects as good.
But that's, again, that means you created an idol. Your project has become an idol because you have an investment in the outcome.
Yeah, good.
Then that's idolatry. To do it as unto God means you never have an investment in the outcome.
So does that show that that complete emptiness is very hard to attain, but decreasing and him increasing?
It's your death. And it says natural is breathing.
I understand that. But complete decreasing, I've never felt that.
That's why repentance is there.
I felt decrease and his increase, and that gives me rest, peace, comfort, serenity.
For a time. Until something happens you don't like.
Well,
then you return to crap.
I do return. And I repent.
And so does everybody else. This isn't something you go back and forth. It's not a spiritual yo-yo. That which is highly esteemed among men is abomination. This is important. It's not an abomination. It is abomination. Now, what does that mean? The only abomination, the desolation that's spoken of by the prophet Daniel is when the evil one was on the throne. Here, what you esteem, if you esteem the same thing the world esteems, that means the evil one is on the throne and he's acting like he's that little beast in chapter 14 of Revelation that grew horns.
Yeah, the little lamb that grew horns.
But he still spoke with the mouth of the beast.
Yeah. The little Christian guy.
Yeah.
But again, these are the hardest words you'll ever hear. If you have to look at your life. If you esteem anything that the world esteems, then you're still part of the beast.
But the ramifications of that are like enormous, and they're micro and macro. I mean, we esteem our country, our neighborhood, our small business reputations, our responsibilities.
Right, and that's crap.
But it's enormous. I mean, retirement homes for retirement itself, all that stuff is crap. If
you esteem it, then you're given your part of your. You're trying to have a foot in both camps.
My identity as a citizen, locally, nationally, globally, all that stuff.
It's all gone.
It's all gone. There's only the one identity in him.
You have no modifiers. That's why the word we are the peculiar people. The word peculiar is a word that they didn't know how to translate it. It's the feminine, the verb form, I am. You cannot have, that's why it says, there's neither male nor female, bond or free, Greek or Jew, American or Russian, Texan or Democrat or Republican. You're not of this world. You identified yourself as is what gives you confidence. It gives you identity. You're neither male or female, bond or free, Greek or Jew, young or old. Doesn't get any bigger than this. This is God's poker hand. And this is where God's a great poker player. And if he sees you giving breath to anything in time and space.
He calls them tells, huh?
Huh?
Yeah. He calls them tells.
Right.
More than a tell. It's a tell. Like you've already brought that up.
That's what I said, the tell, didn't I?
Yeah, but that's what he said. You said what? What did you say?
I didn't hear what he said. I didn't hear him say tell. I was a very good poker player.
Yeah, I've heard.
Because I saw the tells in the people's responses.
All the telltale signs.
We used to play poker here every weekend.
Yeah, we quit that.
Fleecing the flock.
And then they accused me of fleecing the flock, so I quit. We quit.
That was when you didn't like to lose.
But the whole mystery. Yeah, I haven't told Scott. Harry and I played gin rummy for a penny a point. And we played Hollywood with three games at once. He owed me $55,000.
You had to write it off.
Yeah.
But it's the point of it. That's what a believer should be. You should be able to see the tells. It does. That's what it's.
Yeah.
It must be of faith. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. There's nothing that your mind can produce that's of faith. We'll continue more, I guess.
What I've just seen there, it's like we talk about an empty mind, but we can't conceive of it because just thinking about it puts something in it. But it's almost like your mind is a pipe and things can pass through it, but you don't attach to any of the things. You don't have an investment that we talk about. It's
all right. It's a whole mystery. The mind... The only way that the mind can be emptied is by you ignoring it.
Yeah. Or if you find yourself not letting that certain jewel pass through, you cling to it, that's repentance time.
Right, but ignoring is repentance in this context.
Yeah.
Because there's nothing worthwhile that can come from your mind. Your mind has never been your friend. It gives the appearance of your friend because for sometimes you can get a little bit of satisfaction, sustenance, but it always becomes the accuser. It is never your friend.
Nor is anybody else's mind your friend.
Yeah, and especially somebody else's mind is never your friend. Take a big gun.